While studying this week's Bible passage, I thought of some things that Joseph might have thought when he found out that Mary was pregnant. Timing's not going to work out on this one. I will kill whoever did this. Did I really dream about this? I am so angry. I can't go through with this anymore. No, I'm never going to get married. No one would blame me for sending her away. Why would God do this to me? When are we going to discover DNA, and when can we test for it? I don't imagine that Joseph was at first as calm as the story makes him out to be. I think that after the anger, this initial anger that came to him, feelings of betrayal and confusion, Joseph probably did calm down. And he did something kind. He did something caring. He did something very unexpected for a man of his time. See, the Bible describes Joseph as being a righteous man. And a righteous man really would be someone who kept Torah, kept the law, and would have had the right to do what a man had the right to do, to send this woman away. But I wonder if the description of Joseph being a righteous man can also bring out images of gentleness and compassion. Or maybe it does bring out those images of someone who just felt justified to send someone away because they broke the rules. And you know, Joseph was in a difficult spot. He was living in a difficult time for a man who had compassion and kindness in his heart. Just imagine living in Israel 2,000 years ago. The Romans were in charge, but they were willing to let Israel have just a little degree of independence so long as the taxes got paid. As in, don't mess with Rome and you can have peace. And that's what was kept. And there was the rebuilding of the temple, the reestablishment of the schedule of sacrifices about what you had to do and when. There was also this growing expectation that finally God surely was going to come back to do something to save the people. But for hundreds of years after the temple had been rebuilt, nothing happened. The prophets had stopped speaking. It seems like God had stopped speaking. Yes, the people continued to hope. They continued to pray. All they had left were their hopes and their prayers. They had the promises. They had the covenant, the stuff they were supposed to know. But I am sure that many thought God has abandoned us. They wondered if this promised Messiah that they had been taught ever since they were little would ever come. Sure, some people had hope, but most of them were probably filled with doubt. And I wonder, in this Christmas season today, if God seems far away. We feel like our prayers echo off walls that just block them or make them disappear into an empty sky. I wonder if we could ever dare to believe that God would come to us, would hear us. And in this season, we're invited to wait and to listen to see how close God has come. See, if we're walking through Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, just close your eyes and imagine this for a minute. Here's what it must have been like. It's night. It's quiet. There's a gentle wind stirring in the trees. There's this smell of jasmine mingling with the smell of the tar from the torches that are burning outside the doors. And there's this little house made of hard-packed clay. It's an ordinary house, nothing special. But outside near the back, there's a little barn. There's a man pacing. He's anxious. He's impatient. And what's his name? Joseph. He is righteous. He's a carpenter, maybe a stonemason. Inside, his wife is in labor. It's scary. It's mysterious. Business of giving birth. He wants to go in to be with her, but remember, we are 2,000 years ago. This is no place for a man. One of the women comes out to tell him that the pains are getting closer now. The child's going to be born very, very soon. And there comes the noise of the baby! But as he's waiting, before that noise comes, Joseph revisits the events of the past 9 months. He remembers the shock and the anguish, the anger when he learned that Mary was going to have a baby. He hears his own voice cry, "What? Whose?" Then Mary's voice as she begs him to believe the story that she has told him. But how could he believe that? Why doesn't he let the anger take over, the logical thing take over? He relives that dream, that incredible dream. God's silence finally broken. And an angel speaks to Joseph's heart. This is God's child. Now the time has come for this promised one to be born. And Joseph has been chosen by God to help raise this child. Then the wonder and the responsibility of this task, they strike him. And then the cue was a bit of... And then a child's cry suddenly pierces the silence. A woman ushers him inside, and Joseph stumbles to Mary's side. Her face glows with the radiant joy of a new mother as she cradles this baby. Joseph takes the newborn child into his arms, and with a trembling voice, he gives him the name Jesus, just like the angel had told him. Jesus, meaning God saves. Jesus, because it says that he will save the people from their sins. Now, we have it good in 2007 because we get to celebrate Jesus' birth from the view of the future. We celebrate Christ's birth because of the resurrection. We know what it means. Or if we don't know what it means, at least we've been informed by this whole process. And Christmas is important because Jesus died and rose again. We celebrate the birth because here's the moment when God puts on skin and becomes one of us, if only for a short time. But Joseph and Mary, they didn't really have a whole lot to celebrate. Mary was a teenager and she was unmarried. Engaged, but unmarried. And pregnant. Her husband had every right, remember, by the law of the land, to throw her out into the street for breaking her promise to him and relating with another. Yeah, she and Joseph had been informed divinely that the child that she was carrying was from the Holy Spirit and they should be married. They had a baby and they named him Jesus. But do you think that nobody talked about this family even after that holy night we learn about in our precious Christmas carol, Silent Night? Being a teenage mother was not at all uncommon in Jesus' time. Scholars think Mary was somewhere between 13 and 16 years old and Joseph was probably about 30. But being an unmarried teenage mother, that was bad. So Jesus was born as the Savior of the world to the son of a teenage mother who was pregnant before she was married. Joseph couldn't really claim that he was the father. Think about that for a second. If he could, let's say that Joseph could claim to be the father, and the story was how God used the baby of an unmarried couple to be the Savior of the world. That would be maybe even cooler. And we have this thought of how perfect Jesus is, but what if God put on skin with someone who had no right to be called the Son of God? Isn't that in keeping with the message of Jesus? Jesus' love for everybody. But people must have talked. Yeah, the birth was in Bethlehem instead of Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph lived. So they were gone from their hometown, so not as many people talked. And sure, a year after Jesus was born, they moved to Egypt for a time, but news still has a way of traveling. I can imagine the people looking at this baby boy, saying to each other, "That's Mary's boy. He was born a little too early for Joseph to be the father. I really can't believe why Joseph would still want to be her husband after what she did to him. It's disgraceful." She parades around with that baby. She knows it isn't Joseph's. They say that angels visited them and that a baby was from the Holy Spirit. They are nuts. First of all, God doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. Why would God choose these two? Joseph is a common worker. And Mary, well, we've seen what she's about. God didn't choose a couple that we would have chosen to bring Jesus into the world. In retrospect, we celebrate it. really, why make this road so hard for Jesus right from the beginning? Why not choose someone who was married? Why not choose a more established family? That's what I think. I think that God sent Jesus into the world to save it. I believe that God knows the struggle that we have to do what is right, and God knows we struggle with things like doubt and anger. God knows we experience stress. God knows we struggle with our unbelief. I think that God chose these controversial beginnings so that He would know those kinds of things too, that He would live through the problems that we have and the persecution that we have and maybe even the doubts that we have and understand how humans think and feel. And then when God loves us and forgives us, as God does, there's another sense of understanding where that comes from. Wow, you feel like Jesus did. You struggle the way Jesus did. Jesus understands what we go through because Jesus went through it all. God loves us and God forgives us. But you know, there's more than that. God has given us something. God has given us faith to believe what necessarily doesn't make sense. This baby being born to Mary and how Joseph found out about it, it didn't make any sense. And what they had to go to get counted, that didn't really make any sense. And the baby would be born after a long journey, that didn't make any sense. And it wasn't easier for them, it didn't make any sense. But God gives us the faith like He gave Mary and Joseph the faith to believe what doesn't necessarily make sense. And God has promised never to leave us. Jesus name, one of the names Jesus is known by, Emmanuel, God is with us. God has promised that we can have life to the fullest. Joseph and Mary, they struggled to do what was right. They struggled with doubt. They struggled with unbelief. And I believe that God gave them faith to believe what didn't make sense. Because God, in God's infinite wisdom, called and blessed Mary, a teenage mother. And God called and blessed Joseph, a righteous man. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. And thank you for this season, this week, to celebrate. Thank you for Jesus' humble beginnings. And thank you that Jesus is the one who saves.